Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Sharp.
It's March and the Boilermakers find themselves hitting their stride at the right time. Can they keep up that momentum in the final week of the regular season into the tournaments? We'll break that down on Golden Black Radio. Also, we'll talk a little bit of football after the first scrimmage of spring. And already almost a third of the way through those spring practices, pretty hard to believe. Kyle Charter is here with Brian Newber, Tom Deanhart by in just a couple of minutes. So, Brian, is Purdue playing its best right now?
It's playing its best in a while, for sure. I think, you know, obviously having Stefanovic back in more ways than one certainly helps, but I think Purdue's really played well defensively lately. They've started making shots a little bit more. I think that they got a lot going for them here, and they've won these last two games decisively without, you know, Travion Williams having to go get 20, 25 points for you. And, you know, 6 weeks ago, I don't know if that was possible. I just think the way Jaden Ivey's playing, the way a bunch of guys are playing, I think that, they seem to be trending toward peaking at the right time.
Yeah. You mentioned defense earlier. I think the strides that Purdue has made defensively since game one to game 20 or whatever it was on Friday night against Penn State is maybe where they've made the biggest leap, right? I mean, even guys like Jaden Ivey, who we pay so much attention to what he does and how great he can be offensively, I think has been a better defender, and maybe that's just because of that athleticism. But the defense in general is much better, and I think that was pretty evident in that win against Penn State.
Yeah, I mean, he was awesome on defense at Penn State. And I'm not just talking about the four blocks, the three steals. I'm talking about everything that went into it, everything in terms of how he handled this assignment, that assignment, this ball screen, whatever it might have been. He was really good from a team defensive perspective. The thing that struck me about that Penn State game, going back and watching it, was how prepared Purdue was and how on top of everything they were. And that speaks to a team that had a couple of days to practice and really paid attention and really locked in and really prepared. And that reflects well on them kind of moving into this late stage of the season. You know, they seem to have that urgency about them to close the season strong. You know, you expect teams that are as young and new as Purdue has been all season long, and, you know, they're not young anymore considering how much basketball they've played this season, but you've expected some ups and downs all season long. And I don't know if you've gotten them.
Yeah.
You've gotten the ups, but I don't know if you've necessarily had that game where you just don't show up, which is
right.
A perfectly reasonable assumption to make sometimes when you're playing, you know, five freshmen or however many freshmen Purdue's playing. But they've been, you know, consistently competitive. They've shown up for every game. I think that speaks to what this team is made of competitively.
Yeah, with a young team, you expect some peaks and valleys. We just haven't seen very many of those valleys, if any. We did see Matt Painter switch his lineup on Friday, which we don't see often when Purdue is winning. And it had won a couple of games in a row. But I think the switch made some sense, right? Just simply from to get another veteran in for one thing, but also just, you know, sort of rotations and things to get another shooter out on the court at the start of the game and thus putting Sasha Stefanovic in there. It just, you know, it seemed like he was going to have to get back in the starting lineup at some point.
Yeah. To be honest with you, I was kind of surprised that he did it because I thought that this late in the season, you know, continuity is so important. And I figured with Sasha Stefanovic's experience, I thought maybe he would be better suited to kind of handle that disruption, which isn't to say Brandon Newman isn't, but things do change for Brandon Newman now because now he has to play a little bit of a different role than the one he's spent all season settling into. I mean, he's had his ups and downs all season long, but a lot of ups. I mean, Purdue's not where Purdue is right now without Brandon Newman for sure. But now he has to adjust a little bit to something a little bit differently. He has to handle this well from a mental perspective, however you would term that. I wouldn't view this as a demotion if I were him. I think this is Sasha Stefanovic taking his rightful place where Purdue needs him in the role he's earned. And obviously, Jaden Ivey's not leaving that starting five anytime soon. So I think this puts a little bit of an onus on Brandon Newman now to, you know, adjust to his new situation and handle it well and keep being the key player for Purdue he's been all season long, but in a different role. The defensive energy he's given Purdue, even when he's not making shots lately, has been really good. And I think that is something he's going to have to make sure doesn't fall off in terms of the way he views the game now coming off the bench. His eagerness as a player has been his best friend and his best enemy at times. His worst enemy at times this season.
Yeah.
And I think coming off the bench, maybe you have to learn to, you know, not try to do too much too quick and, you know, things like that. So that's going to be the question now more so than it was in terms of how long it would take Sasha Stefanovic to get back, because obviously Sasha Stefanovic is back.
Yeah, if I was in Brandon Newman's shoes, I think I would feel like, man, I got to come in there and be instant offense, right? Score 5 points in the first two possessions of getting into the game, and that's really – while that would be great, I don't know that that's really beneficial to have that mindset. I mean, that's probably the mindset I would fall into if I was in his shoes.
What he needs to do is – come in thinking he can be instant defense, and then kind of, as Matt Painter would say, let the game come to him on offense. I mean, that's just sort of that's sort of the adjustment that he's going to have to make now for Purdue to be as good as Purdue wants to be here later this month. You know, Brandon Newman has to be a big part of it, whether that's starting, whether that's coming off the bench. Either way, he's got to be a big part of it. There's no way around it.
Yeah. You mentioned turning defense into offense. If you were a defender and Jaden Ivey stole the ball from you and was in the open court, would you do anything to try to slow him down?
I don't know if I could.
I'd probably just get out of the way.
I'm not as fast as he is. So I don't know. If he stole the ball from me and he was running the other way, I doubt I could catch him. If you're asking me if I would subject myself to getting dunked on, probably not.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I'd even get turned around before he threw the ball down on the other side of the court. I would still be standing there wondering what happened to the ball. Not quite.
Yeah, he's a special athlete.
Yeah, I mean, and a special athlete in combination with a guy who has a high motor and a very – high work ethic and will to win. All of those things are a pretty good combination in a player, especially a player. Yeah, to say the least. I think we're at the beginning stages of watching something that's pretty special. If I'm being honest, you know, I tweeted this during the game, I think on Friday night. I mean, in my opinion, March is about guards. I know you have to have big men, but look, when Purdue has been at its best in March, it has been because it has good guard play, and I think you can say that for a lot of teams. You know, a couple of years ago, Carson Edwards and Ryan Klein made a huge difference, clearly. Jaden Ivey, in my opinion, is the kind of guy that can take you places in March. I just think he's a special player, it seems like to me.
Yeah, I've always termed it as Jaden Ivey is what Purdue loses to in the NCAA tournament. He's a pro and he's a playmaker and he's a special athlete, and I mean he's just on the ground floor right now of what he's gonna be, and he's getting he's elevating quickly. And you know, here in a couple weeks, he might even be in a position to really, really be a difference maker on the biggest stage in college basketball. And certainly next year he will be. And as you said, I think balance matters in the NCAA tournament, but I think you have to have people who can make plays, and you have to have people who are good with the ball in their hands, because big men only take you so far because they are dependent on the people who have to get them the ball.
Right.
And have to provide them the sort of situation where they can be as productive as possible. And I think Purdue has a they have a new sort of Caleb Swanigan, Carson Edwards dynamic going here with Travion Williams and Jaden Ivey. And that's a pretty good combination to have. And they'll have it next year,
right?
Presumably. And
yeah.
That's what this season was all about coming in, was anything you can do this year sets you up for next year, great. But the fact that Purdue is already where Purdue is, to where we're not just talking about them making the NCAA tournament, but doing something in the NCAA tournament, you know, they could be like a top 10 team in the preseason next year. They could be the preseason favorite in the Big Ten, depending on how some NBA decisions go for other people. But it's just, they're so far ahead of the game. I think I've said that every week, but every week it gets more and more true, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, probably never more true than this one, it feels like, after a pretty dominant performance Friday night. I mean, Penn State's not great, but they're better generally than what they showed against a Purdue team that looked pretty good. Purdue, I think, is unlikely to get little rocked. Not that they couldn't lose, but all of a sudden you're watching the game and like, oh, the other team's best players are much more athletic than Purdue's players. That seems unlikely with Jaden Ivey out on the court. And, you know, maybe some other Boilermakers too.
It hasn't happened yet. I mean, Purdue hasn't, you know, as you said, Purdue hasn't had that game. Now, they have had some inconsistencies from half to half, but they have never had that game where they just don't show up. They haven't lost to anybody, you know, on paper that you shouldn't lose to. I know right now Minnesota's in the tank, but they've been pretty good at home all season. They don't have Gabe Kalshure right now. That's a big part of it. They had him for Purdue, and he had 22 against Purdue or something like that. So that's the one. You've lost some games that you should have won. Probably you should have won at Miami, obviously. I think it was a 50-50 game at Maryland. You probably should have won at Minnesota, considering how Minnesota won that game. But outside of that, you've never had that game where you just didn't show up. And that's something that bodes really well for Purdue, kind of moving into the postseason. I would not think that Purdue would be on upset alert. It's always possible in the NCAA tournament. You never know how young players, too, are going to react to that stage. But if Purdue hasn't been fazed by playing at Ohio State or Michigan State or Indiana or Iowa or Illinois or, whatever, I don't think they're going to be fazed by playing a 12 seed in the NCAA tournament in Indianapolis.
Back at home for a couple of games this week, Wisconsin late on Tuesday night. I'm sure you love that. 9 o'clock tip, IU at home.
Joy.
Then on Saturday. The game on Tuesday night is, you know, going to be the old guys versus the young guys. Man, I look at those two teams and I would take the young guys. Wisconsin's been one of the more, in my opinion, disappointing teams in the Big Ten. I just don't think they score very well, considering they have guys who, in theory, can score. But as a team, they don't. If they get more than 60 points, it's a victory, I think, for the Badgers. I guess from that perspective, those storylines, it's interesting. It feels like Purdue with the young guys is just a better team right now.
Yeah, I thought Purdue was better than Wisconsin last year, and I think Purdue's a little bit better than Wisconsin this year. I think what's happened with Wisconsin is they have the same team as last year, and last year they just found ways to win, and to their credit, they managed to win a Big Ten title with a team that was far from the best team in the Big Ten or even close to it. And I think that this year things just normalized for them. And I think that their luck ran out, so to speak. I shouldn't say it was luck, because obviously a lot goes into winning close games in the Big Ten. But this is a Big Ten where if you're not really, really, really good, and even if you are, you're going to lose a bunch of games. And I think that, you know, them losing some close games at home, is not something people historically are used to seeing happen to Wisconsin. But I think the Big Ten isn't fazed by the Kohl Center anymore, you know. And I think that Wisconsin is just sort of a pretty good sort of team that found ways to win last year and just kind of hasn't been able to repeat it this year. And Obviously, they have a lot of experience going for them. What they don't have necessarily is, you know, supreme talent. And there's a lot of supreme talent in the Big Ten these days, and a lot of toughness and a lot of experience too. So the things that were advantages for Wisconsin last year aren't necessarily the same level of advantage this year than they were last.
Right. All right, man, rest up before the game late on Tuesday.
Yep. Thanks.
Yep. All right. Thanks, man. We'll talk to you later.
All right.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll bring in Tom Dienhart. We'll talk to him a little about football spring practice. One scrimmage down, one more coming up this weekend. We'll get his thoughts on the defense, a bunch of other stuff. We'll do that coming up next on Gold and Black Radio. As we blitz into 2021, JFQ Lending is extending an exclusive offer for Gold and Black members to take advantage of historically low mortgage rates. JFQ Lending will cover any out-of-pocket cost for an appraisal when required. In addition, they will cover the underwriting fee of $1,365. JFQ Lending has a Better Business Bureau A rating with more than 2,000 reviews. They work with top lenders to do the hard work of finding the best deal for you. If you're curious to whether refinancing your mortgage is a good decision, reach out to Blake Johnson today. Call 480-463-2133 or email Blake at bjohnson@jfqlending.com. Gridiron Metalworks is your go-to for grill grates and griddles in home and office decor branded to your favorite team, Purdue. Browse the designs that incorporate Purdue's logo and the Boilermaker Special in stainless or carbon steel, as well as other outdoor goods such as planters, flower pots, and fire pits. This is your solution for the hard to shop for and even featured on Purdue alum Brian Cardinal's grill. Visit gridironmetal.com. Gold and Black Radio is brought to you by Home Field Apparel. Home Field makes premium collegiate apparel with vintage Purdue designs with incredibly soft and comfortable clothing printed and owned in Indianapolis. That's homefieldapparel.com for your premium Purdue apparel with vintage designs. Check it out today. The Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus is your experienced real estate group in Greater Lafayette. If you're looking to list, buy, sell, upsize, downsize, anything in house, give me a call or text 765-412-5217 or email kyle@chartersteam.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics.
Kyle Charters with Tom Dienhart to talk a little bit of spring football. It is March now, so it makes a little bit more sense these days. Purdue has gotten through several practices, including a scrimmage on Saturday. Tom, the big takeaway, I think, at least from listening to Jeff Brohm afterward, is that he feels good about where the defense is and where it is headed. And maybe a little bit more comfortable with everything that is going on that side of the ball right now compared to what he was a year ago. Does that seem correct?
Yeah, I think you're spot on as usual, Kyle. This is a defense that he likes. I know it's easy to say all the right things at this moment, but again, I think he understands Boone needs to be aggressive on defense, and that's certainly what new coordinator Brad Lambert will be, is aggressive. Jeff Brohm understands, Kyle, that they're going to give up big plays in the process. Anytime, blitz, stem, stunt, do things like that to get pressure, you're going to give up big plays from time to time. But again, Purdue has to be aggressive to force turnovers, get off the field on third down, and just plain flat out make plays. So far, so good, my friend.
Yeah, look, what Purdue should be doing on defense is be aggressive.
Yeah.
Gets a couple turnovers, and if it gives up points, then just go back out there and score. Right? Shouldn't that be the whole philosophy? I mean, that was Jeff Brohm's philosophy at Western Kentucky, right? Just go out there and score, win a game 45-40. Who cares? If you get a turnover, you get one extra possession, then use that extra possession to just outscore the other team. It seemed like, maybe last year and maybe even the last couple of years, that hasn't necessarily been sort of the goal, to just, get a couple of turnovers, and if the other team scores, whatever, use that extra possession to just beat them. I want to get that back.
Exactly. Yeah, you're exactly right. I agree. This is always going to be a program built around its offense, right? I mean, Purdue's never going to have a steel curtain defense. Never going to have athletes like Michigan, Ohio State, or Penn State. Not going to win games 14-7 very often. And like you said, just like you're aggressive on offense, you have to have that same philosophy on defense. And like you said, you know, if you give up that big play for a score, you just got to shrug your shoulders and know, hey, we got a great offense here. And have that confidence that each time your offense is on the field, they can certainly score. So I'm excited and intrigued. You know, spring football is a fun time, Kyle. You covered a lot of them. Optimism is always high, right? The one worry, I know every spring, it seems like about a third of the roster is not even participating. And, boy, Purdue's got a lot of key guys out this spring so far, too.
Yeah, who are some of those guys who are out? I mean, there's a number of them.
Yeah. You know, Jeff said he thought they were really thin at safety and defensive tackle in particular. And that back end, Cam Allen and Marvin Grant are out. You know, Geo Howard got banged up recently, a cornerback. And up front, you know, Anthony Watts, Lawrence Johnson. Probably your two starting tackles this fall are both out as well. Johnson for the rest of the spring. Watts just a little bit banged up. Of course, Jalen Alexander, the veteran linebacker, is out as well. And on the offensive side of the ball, you know, Cam Craig, who could be the left tackle next year, is still recovering from that injury last year that he suffered early on. So those are some key guys that at this point are out. David Bell wasn't even taking part in drills because just trying to stay healthy and get healthy from last year as well. And how much more do we really need to learn about David Bell anyway? So the staff has got to work around these injuries. And I guess if there's one positive, it gives you a chance to take a look at some younger guys too, right?
Right. Gives you a chance too to look at a couple of those transfers, you know, a couple of veteran guys who have come in, and O.C. Brothers and Joe Anderson. Those two have to have helped on the defensive side, right? I mean, just to have a couple of more guys who are, you know, physically older, more mature players.
Yeah, Jeff's been really pleased with both those guys, Kyle. O.C. Brothers in particular, the linebacker from Auburn. He says O.C.'s got that quick twitch to him. 6'2", 230-pound guy who you got to think has maybe a good shot to maybe start. And he's been pleased with Joseph Anderson as well, the defensive end from South Carolina. He thinks he needs to be a little bit stronger. But, again, that's a position they want to continue to develop depth. And on the other side of the ball, Tyler Witt, the guard from Western Kentucky. Jeff likes a lot. You know, he's not the tallest guy, Kyle. But Jeff thinks he may be the strongest offensive lineman already. Kid from Joliet Catholic High School. Of course, Mike Allstott's alma mater is thrilled to death to play in the Big Ten, as you can imagine. And I got to think, when they line up to play Oregon State on September 4th, Tyler Witt's going to be one of the starting guards.
All right, Tom, it's spring. It's March 1st. I don't want to talk about kickers and punters. Like, that's a fall worry, right? Not a spring worry. But look.
Always a good day.
Yeah. Does Purdue have anybody who can kick the ball, like, in either fashion? They can kick it through the uprights or punt it down the field. I mean, the punting thing was it got underplayed because Purdue was just losing in general. But if Purdue was a team that was, like, competing at the top of the Big Ten West for longer last year, the punting could have become a real problem. And Purdue doesn't have a – am I right in this, that Purdue does not have a scholarship kicker on the roster right now, and nor does it have one, as we sit here right now, for the fall?
Yeah, I mean, unless –
is that correct?
Unless Edward Dellinger's been put on scholarship since last year ended, that would be the case. I'll have to follow up and find out if he indeed has been put on scholarship or not. Of course, Edward Dellinger – J.D. Dillinger's younger brother, Kyle, redshirted last year. You know, I think in time, the staff feels like he's going to win this job. He's probably going to be the number one kicker this fall. But, you know, there could be some struggles. And could Purdue maybe try to look for a kicker in the portal? Possible. I know they're still very much active in the portal, Kyle. Always willing to add somebody if they think they can help, especially linemen. But again, yeah, kicker remains a worry. You know, Saturday I asked Jeff how the special teams went. Jeff was not pleased, especially with the kicking. They had live drill situations where the kickers got pressure and they really struggled, I guess. You know, again, that's going to be a worry, but I think in the end, Edwards is going to win that job, Edward Dellinger. Now, the punting, like you said, yeah, I mean, that's a detail of the game that has to be cleaned up. And Brooks Cormier has been very inconsistent. They've given him every chance just to really seal that job for 2 years. It hasn't happened. Of course, we're all waiting for May to get here, Kyle. That's when the Aussie, Jack Ansell, will arrive. And I get the sense, Kyle, they fully expect Jack Ansell to be their punter this fall. So I think anything we see from a punting standpoint this spring probably won't matter much.
Yeah. All right, that's it for the special team segment of
our
spring.
How about long snapper, Kyle?
Yeah, no. No long snapping. No holding, no long snapping. Unless it's a disaster. Is the long snapping a disaster?
No. I'm just, it's those details of the game, like you said. long snappers like referees. You never want to know their names. That's when you know they're doing a good job, right?
Yeah, there you go. All right, thanks, Tom.
Take care, buddy.
Much more on the site, goldenblack.com, on spring football. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back, put a wrap on this podcast. It's coming up next on Golden Black Radio. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, industrial and classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to Heart Table.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
It's time to boiler up and join the Bronze Squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
A couple of basketball games this week, more spring football practice, all the coverage you want at goldandblack.com. All right, that'll do it for our podcast for this week. We'll be back again with this one next Monday. Of course, look for Golden Black Radio Express as well. Thanks to our sponsors. And for Brian Ubert and Tom Deanhart, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.